Good morning.
Good morning.
So thankful for different individuals are willing to help us with the music ministry. And don't forget, those of you that are involved in the music ministry, we have a meeting after church, so please make sure you're here. This morning, I'd like for you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 14. We are continuing with the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's so important that we see the behavior around him, but also what is important, what is priority. This morning, we're looking at Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. If you would stand with me as we read that together. Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. And it says this: "And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, he sat at the table, and a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard, and then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, 'Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor.' And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, 'Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not always have. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Surely I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her.'" Let's bow our heads in prayer. Precious Lord, we thank you so much for your word, how it instructs us and teaches us. I thank you, Father, as we look at the life of Mary and her devotion to Christ. I pray, Lord, that you would make us all like her. We ask now, Lord, that you would, I ask that you would speak through me, allow me to be your messenger. I pray, O Father, that every heart will be pierced and will be spoken to. And Father, we just ask that you would speak to us, encourage us and strengthen us. Lord, convict us and comfort us. We pray and we beseech you in Jesus' holy name. I pray and amen. Please be seated. So this morning we're talking about the priority of worship. I remember helping out a friend of mine. My wife was with me before we were married. We were helping out this man. He was he had his own business, and he had unsaved family. And he said to his father, who was unsaved, he says, "Dad, I'm giving up my business, and I'm going to study for the ministry. I want to be a pastor." And his father spoke to him and said, "Son, I do not believe that what you're doing is the wisest thing. I feel that you're wasting your time." Well, what do you expect? The man doesn't know the Lord. And the reason why he even said that is because his father could not see the spiritual value of serving God. But rather, he saw that his son became religious, and so religious that he decided to dedicate his life in serving God. And he couldn't, for the life of him, could not understand how that was going to be beneficial to his son or to his family. Isn't that amazing? And yet, beloved, those that are redeemed and love the Lord, we see the eternal value of serving God and giving your life in service for the Lord. But unbelievers think that is foolishness. For even for you to spend your time on a Sunday morning and being here, they think you and I are foolish. And yet they do not understand the spiritual value of God's word and serving and worshiping God. And this morning we're looking at Mary. And Mark doesn't mention her name, by the way, and neither does Matthew. Matthew is written about 50 A.D. and Mark about 60 A.D. We learn that the only disciple that mentions Mary is John. Why? Because John was written in around 90 A.D. By then, most of the people had passed away. And so we learn that he gives names because of the persecution of the church. Go with me to verse verses 3 through 9, and we learn here the priority of worship. We had just learned how Jesus talked about the end times, how He's coming back. Christ first came as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. We learned that Christ is going to come back a second time. This, by the way, was really new to those who didn't understand their eschatology. Those that didn't really know the Old Testament. That Jesus was coming back to judge the world, and He's going to judge Israel as well. And praise God, the church is going to be gone. Read Revelation all the way through, and the first three chapters of Revelation, the church is mentioned 19 times. But after chapter 3, it's not mentioned. Why? Because we're with the Lord. In fact, we're going to come back with Him and reign with Him, aren't we? I'll tell you what, that's comforting to me. And so we learn here, the final days of our Lord Jesus Christ, Mark now takes us back about a week, back on the Saturday. Remember, Christ came to Jerusalem on the 10th day of Nisan. And the Passover was to be slaughtered on the 14th day. We learned that Jesus Christ was killed at around 3 p.m. on the 14th day of Nisan, the very time and day that the Passover lamb was slaughtered. It is amazing. God the Father planned this before the foundation of the world. And we take comfort in that. Well, this morning I want us to look at the priority of worship. We want to look at devotion, verses 3. We want to see verses 4 to 5, how some are being demeaning to Mary. And finally, we see our Lord Jesus Christ coming to her defense. So we see the devotion, the demeaning, and we see the defense. Let's look at verse 3. We learn that Mark takes us back, and we learn through the Gospel of John that this was 6 days before the Passover. So Mark goes back into time, sharing with us that the Lord Jesus, He stayed in Bethany. Remember, Bethany was just over the hill of the Mount of Olives on the eastern side. And we learn that He had a wonderful family that loved Him, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And it's believed that their father was Simon the leper. We don't have anything conclusive on that. Look at verse 3. It says, "And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard, and then she broke the flask and she poured it on his head." And so we learn the location, we learn what's going on. He's in Bethany. He's in the house of Simon the leper. It's believed might have been their father. It could have been even a different home, but we believe this was the house of Mary and Martha. And of course, they know him by Simon the leper because it would be impossible to sit down with the leper and eat with him. He had to be healed, right? So he was really a former leper, but they knew him as Simon the leper. By the way, the word Simon or the name Simon is used in the New Testament 14 times. So there are a lot of Simons, okay? This is one of the Simons. There was Simon Peter, remember? There are a lot of Simons. And so we learn here that he's sitting down. Simon's there. He's at the table. And as you know, they don't sit down in regular chairs, but they lounge. They put one elbow down and their feet would extend out. And this is one of those wonderful times that Jesus is there along with his apostles. He sits down at the table and along comes Mary. Now, you know why Mary is so wonderful? Because every time you see Mary, she's at the feet of Jesus. Do you realize that? Not only does it share here that she poured this costly oil on his head, we learn through the Gospel of John, chapter 12, that she also pours it on his feet. We also learn that when her brother Lazarus in John chapter 11 had died, she fell at his feet. And let me show you another time. Go with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. This woman truly loved the Lord. Luke chapter 10, look at verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Mary was a young lady that loved the Lord. And when Jesus was around her, she could not get enough of the Lord Jesus Christ. She literally worshipped Him and adored Him. It says in Luke chapter 10, look at verse 38. It says here, in verse 38, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. I believe Martha was the older sister running the household. Now you have to understand that when you feed Jesus, you're not just feeding Jesus by himself. He's with 12 apostles. So you had an instant large party you needed to serve. And of course, if Jesus was coming to your house, I think your house would be spotless, right? Hopefully. And so he comes to their home. And it says here, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat where? There she is again. At Jesus' feet. And guess what she was doing? She was basking in the words and in the presence of Almighty God. Do you realize that the psalm says, in thy presence is the fullness of joy, and at thy right hand, pleasures forevermore? She understood that she needed to come and she needed to worship. And when Jesus was at her home, let me tell you something, beloved. That's where I want to be, worshiping Christ. That's what she was doing. Look at verse 40. But Martha, though she loved the Lord, Martha was distracted with so much serving. And she approached him. She approached Jesus. And it says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? By the way, it says here that she was distracted. It says that she was serving. And we learn that there is a, what they call, an aorist ingressive, which means that Martha was serving and serving and serving. And she was like a tea kettle. You know, a tea kettle that makes a little noise. You put it on the hot water, on the flame, and it begins to make a low hum, right? Then finally it blows its lid. It makes that high noise. That's what was going on here. Martha finally was up to here. Not only was she so upset with Mary, she was upset with Almighty God. Isn't that amazing? She was upset with the Lord. And she comes to him and says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to get up. Can you imagine she's commanding God? She was losing it. Beloved, I want you to understand something. Serving God is wonderful. But you cannot serve God without first worshiping Him. Otherwise, you're going to burn out. And so she's just, you know, so wound up, so upset. She goes to Jesus and she says, Lord, don't you care? And now she says, tell her to get up and help me. And let me tell you something. Verse 41, Jesus only uses names twice or says something twice when he's really moved in his heart, and he says, Martha, Martha. You hear Jesus say, Simon, Simon, my God, my God. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He was stirred because she pierced him. And he said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried. See that word? The word worried, by the way, means you are so distracted. You're literally, what it means is you're falling to pieces. That's what it means. You are worried and troubled about many things. Martha, you're falling to pieces. But one thing is needed, or the one piece is needed. And guess what? Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Was Mary a worshiper of God? Absolutely. She loved the Lord. And here's the older sister trying to work really hard behind the scenes, get everything ready. And we learn that Martha's telling Jesus, Lord, tell her to get up and help me. And Jesus says, Martha, Mary does not need to be like you. One who is worried, one who is distracted, one who is caught up in everything else. What you need to do, Martha, is you need to become like Mary. And you need to come and sit at my feet and you need to worship. See, beloved, that's a priority of worship. Yes, it's great to serve, But it's better to worship. There you get filled with God's in the fullness of His Spirit, and you get encouraged and you get strengthened. Then you're ready to serve. You can't put the cart before the horse. And so, beloved, make sure that you're spending time every day in the Word. But this was a picture of Mary. She loved the Lord. And when her brother Lazarus had passed away, let me tell you, she was at his feet. And she said, "Lord, if you had just been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus had great news, didn't he? Can you imagine standing before Almighty God? And he said to Martha, "Your brother shall rise again." And he sure did. And it wasn't just at the end of the age. It was within the hour. Mary loved Jesus, and she expressed her love and her devotion by pouring out this costly pure nard. It was made in India, by the way, and it was unadulterated, so it was very costly. And as you've seen through the passage, how much it was worth. But that pure nard was a symbol of Mary's adoration to Christ. You see, we learn through the words of Christ that Mary understood that Christ would die and would be buried and resurrected. She had just seen him resurrect her brother. She got it. But the rest of the apostles, it was kind of going over their head. And she probably thought, "What can I do to honor my Lord and my God?" And she took something very costly that possibly just belonged to her. And let me tell you, giving somebody perfume and putting it on their head and their feet was not something uncommon. That's usually what you did to your guest. And in fact, if you were to go to a Jewish household and enter their household, they would kiss you on the cheek. They would pour some perfume on your head. And of course, they'd have you seated. That was very common. But what Mary did is she broke the neck of this little alabaster made of marble and translucent stone, and she made sure she poured it all on Jesus, both on his head and on his feet. She wanted Jesus to know how much she loved him. She didn't care about the cost, because she was doing what she could, possibly knowing that this may be the final time that she sees him. She was a true worshiper of the Lord. God calls us, beloved, to be devoted to him, doesn't he? Beloved, I want you to understand this. Some of us, we're more devoted to our entertainment, more devoted maybe to our jobs. We are more devoted to so many things, but we need to be most devoted to Christ. Isn't that true? And you need to really ask yourself those things, because sometimes there's a sacrifice there. And we learned that when it came to Mary, she was able to show her devotion to the Lord. Go with me to Mark chapter 10. We learn that Christ calls us to be more devoted to Him. How much do you love the Lord? Is the Lord Jesus Christ and worship to our Lord Jesus Christ a priority in your life? Are you committed to worshiping Him? Look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. And let me tell you, the world's going to see you as being foolish. Being foolish for the Lord. Because really, in their eyes, there is no earthly value. Well, Jesus says this when it comes to discipleship. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, He says, "He who loves who? Father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Is he saying that we shouldn't love our mother and father? Not at all. What he is saying is the priority of your devotion and your love is to be the Lord. Isn't that the great commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Beloved, I challenge you in the name of Christ that your first love is the Lord. May that be your daily prayer. Because, beloved, we love too many things. And first of all, we probably love ourselves more. Here Jesus says, He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He says, and he who loves son or daughter is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Christ is the priority. Very important. Let me ask you a very personal question. Do you remember the day that you surrendered your life to Christ? You might say, well, Pastor, I never surrendered. And friend, you need to do that. The day that you said, Lord, all that I am belongs to you. And I shared with you the testimony of a friend of mine that it wasn't until he surrendered his life to Christ that's when he found peace. And so we learn here that when it comes to Mary, she truly loved the Lord. And she took something of extreme value and she gave it to him. Ask yourself this, how am I demonstrating my devotion to Christ? How am I demonstrating my commitment to Christ? Are you in the Word every day? Are you worshiping the Lord every day? Can you really look at your life and say, you know, I'm sacrificing this for the Lord? Sometimes it's sacrificing of time and energy and money. Whatever it may be, it's between you and God. But make sure that you're showing your devotion to the Lord. Show your commitment to God. Be careful, beloved, because there can be so many other idols taking your time, your energy, but most of all, taking your affection. It could even be the wrong person. Go with me back to Mark chapter 14. We see that as Mary is demonstrating her love for Christ, it is amazing how others see that. And that's going to happen with you and I as well. Mark chapter 14, look at verse 4 and 5. He says here, after she poured all of this perfume on him, and you know, it's amazing, Jesus just, he accepted her worship. And you need to understand that that's what God does. God receives our worship. Look at verse 4. It says, but there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? Really? Wasted with God? Why are you wasting your time spending time in church? Well, you could be doing something productive, right? Why are you wasting your time studying the Word? Why are you wasting your time praying? You know why? Because they don't understand the spiritual value. And so they're saying, why was this wasted? It's amazing, you know. They don't say anything to Jesus, but they come down hard on Mary. And so they say, why was this fragrant oil wasted? And what's interesting is this guy knows the value of it. Isn't that amazing? Look at verse 5. For it might have been sold for more than what? That's a year's wage. Now, everybody here earns a different wage. Can you imagine taking a year's wage, a whole year, and just pouring it out? I can't. Wow. That's a lot of money. But that's what she did. And he says around 300 denarii, right? One denarii is one day's wage. For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to who? To the poor. And they criticized her sharply. See, imperfect. They continually criticized her. Well, who was leading the pack? You guys know. Judas. And what does John say about Judas? Judas didn't care about the poor. He says, I am the poor, right? He wanted it for himself. It says, Judas. He didn't care for the poor, but really he was jealous because he was a thief. He wanted to get his little grubby hands on that. No, I didn't mean that grub, but grubby. Sorry. All right. So here he is, Judas leading the pack and criticizing her. And it's amazing how he can calculate so fast how much that was worth. You see, that's all he saw. was a physical worth. But he could not see because he was blinded to the spiritual worth of worship to the Lord. You know how precious that is to God? You know how precious it is when you come to the Lord and you close the door and you cry out to God and you pour out your soul to God? That is so precious to him. He wants you to do that. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to worship him. And this was precious in God's eyes. Mary's sincere gift of worship and devotion was criticized by the disciples, of course, led by Judas, who once again only saw the monetary value of this gift because he was so blinded. Go with me to 2 Samuel, would you? I want you to see another illustration of this. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Remember this? With David? Remember King David? The Lord actually made a covenant with King David because the Lord delighted in him. The word David itself means beloved of God. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, make sure you keep your finger, by the way, in Mark. 2 Samuel chapter 6, David was now the king of Israel. But something wasn't exactly right. The Ark of the Covenant wasn't in Jerusalem, remember? And David wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem, which was the capital. And we find that he was bringing the Ark. At first, he did it the wrong way. Remember, he put it on a cart, and the oxen almost stumbled. And so Uzzah touched the Ark of the Covenant. What happened? God zapped him, right? Post-toasties right there. You know. The Lord dealt. You know why? Because they did it the wrong way. Let me tell you something about method. When God gives you a method, follow that method. God said that it is the Levites were to carry the Ark of the Covenant by hand. And so David learned his lesson the hard way. 2 Samuel chapter 6, starting in verse 12. We're not going to have time to read the whole thing. Second Samuel 6, verse 12. Let me get there myself. Now, it was told King David, because he went aside and put it in another man's house. In verse 12 of 2 Samuel 6, now it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom. Why? Because the Ark of the Covenant was there. And all that belongs to him, because of the Ark of God. So David went, he decided, once again, he's going to bring the Ark. And he brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. David loved the Lord. And he wanted the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant, near him. Verse 13. And so it was when they were burying the Ark of the Lord and had gone six paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. David made sure he followed everything to the letter. He wanted to make sure that he was pleasing to the Lord. It says here in verse 14, then David danced before the Lord. That was just from David. Now, a lot of people use this and say, you see, since David danced to the Lord, I can go dancing and clubbing. No, no, that's not what that is. Okay? David loved the Lord, and David, in a sense, became a little child to the Lord. And as they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant, David was rejoicing so much, he couldn't contain it. You know, it's like my little girls, when they used to have their long ponytails, or what are those? Braids. And I'd see them spinning, you know, the little braids are flipping around their head and they're jumping around. I can imagine seeing David, like a little boy, so thankful and rejoicing. And it says, then David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. That's what the priest would wear, and it's something very light. So David and all the house brought up the Ark of the Lord with what? Shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Man, it was a time of celebration. The Lord's Ark is coming into the tabernacle. So David with all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord, shouting and sound of the trumpet. Verse 16. Now as the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, who was there? His first wife, Michal, right? Some say Michael, I say Michal. It sounds more feminine. Saul's daughter. David had married her way back when Saul was king. And she looked through the window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord. And she loved him in her heart. What does it say? She despised him. She looked at David and she said, what's going on? She thought about her father and how regal he was and majestic. Like, what's this guy doing? And she, to despise someone, by the way, is to look down. She despised him in her heart. Now, that was already bad. But now she wanted to give David also a piece of her mind, too. Look at verse 17. And they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. David was so excited. He was so fired up. He was so thankful. He was rejoicing. And when David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Then he distributed among all the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both the women and the men, to everyone a loaf of bread and a piece of meat and a cake of raisins. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Now David comes home and he's on fire. And he returns to bless his household. And there she is, Michal. The daughter of Saul came out to meet David. And what did she say? How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. She put him down. What David did, he did it as an act of worship to God. He loved the Lord. And when she saw him, she just looked at him and she despised him. Can you imagine that? And listen to what he says. I love this. David's like, I'm not afraid to be humble before people and before God. This is not about David. Look at what David says. So David said to Michal, it was before the Lord. It wasn't for you. Sorry. Was David there to please her? Beloved, I want you to understand this. When people criticize you, understand this. You're not here on this earth to please them. You are here to please God. And you're going to get criticism all the time. Say, I'm sorry. Right? I'm sorry I didn't please you. I remember seeing this sign, this woman who was a teacher. And she says, I'm sorry, but I could only please one person a day. And today isn't your day. And tomorrow doesn't look good either. Beloved, we are here to please God. And guess what? That means other people will not be pleased with us. So David says, it's before the Lord, you know. If I'm here to please you, Michal, then I would be worried and maybe I'd be concerned, but I'm not. It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father. God removed your father and put me there. In a sense, I was kind of like, Michal, understand this. I'm ordained by God in all of his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord. Verse 22. And I will be even more undignified than this and will be humbled in my own sight. But as for the maidservants whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor. I think they see me in high esteem. Verse 23. Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. God judged her. God judged her. She saw a man worshiping the Lord and she put him down. The disciples, led by Judas, saw Mary worshiping Christ. And that's all they could see was the external. But they didn't see her heart. They didn't see that she was worshiping him from her heart. And it was pleasing to God. Let me tell you, what David did to the Lord, it pleased the Lord. No one can see your heart, but God can. Remember Hannah when she went to the temple to pray? And there she was. She was a broken woman and she poured out her heart to God. Remember what Eli said to her? He saw her speaking to herself and thinking, she's got to be drunk. He says, how long will you be drunk to this woman? She says, no. People will always misunderstand you. But you know what matters is what God thinks.
It's what God thinks about you. He looks at your heart and your mind. And may your worship be pleasing to Him. And those that love the Lord, guess what? They're gonna recognize that. But those who are shallow and hollow and don't really understand true devotion to God, they're going to criticize. Let them criticize all they want. You're not here to please them. We're here to please the Lord. So, you will find, going back with me in Mark chapter 14, that Mary doesn't say one word. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine? This is her house. This is her guest. This is her gift. And they're criticizing her. I'm like, get out, you know? Get out of my house, you know? But she was gracious. She took the criticism. She didn't defend herself. The Lord defended her. And it's just like that man that went into ministry. His father could not see the value of him dedicating his life to the ministry. He was short-sighted. Go with me to James 1, would you? Let me tell you something. Sometimes we say things we shouldn't say. And sometimes we evaluate things very poorly. And in a very shallow way, we've got to be very careful. James chapter 1, verse 26. Talking about the tongue. James 1:26 says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not what? Bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart. This one's religion is useless. If you're the type of person that you just let loose with your tongue and you tell people always what's on your mind and everything, the Word of God says you are self-deceived. You are deluded. One of the areas of being filled with the Spirit is self-control. And so here it says, this person claims to be religious and they cannot hold their tongue. Their religion is useless because you blow your testimony right there. Right there with your tongue. James chapter 3, go with me there. We're not done with the tongue. Chapter 3, verse 8. James says, no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Look at this, verse 9. And let me tell you this. This is very convicting, even for me. With it, what do we do with our tongue? We're in church, praise God from, and then we go on the highway. You dirty jerk! Right? We forget. With it we bless our God the Father, and with it we curse men. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. This pierces me, like, okay, Lord. But people, they do bad things, don't they? Hold your tongue. They're made in the image of God. Does a spring, verse 11. Well, verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and what else? Cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Sometimes I watch the news and let me tell you, things really bother me. I see foolishness. I see wickedness. I see darkness, and boy, it really irks me. But I have to remember that the Lord is on the throne. And sometimes I need to take a break from that news. So, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? Or a grapevine bear figs, thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Sometimes, beloved, we just got to zip it. It's like, I don't want to say anything because I'm going to say something that's not good. I'm just not going to say anything. Just I'm going to honor God. Chapter 4, verse 11 of James. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren.
He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Be careful. It's better to say nothing. Be careful with that. Verse 12. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Be careful. Now, he's not saying not to show discernment. You just be very careful with your tongue because we sin so easily with the tongue. And so we have to be very careful, especially when we become critical. We become judges. Now, John 7:24 says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. You know, people love that one verse, right? Judge not that you be not judged. Wait a minute. They didn't read John 7:24. Jesus says to judge according, not to judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. In other words, we do have to exercise godly discernment, biblical evaluation, and wise discretion. We have to do that. It's always with the Word of God. Be very careful, beloved, when we criticize. We don't really have the whole picture. Be careful with that. Because that's exactly what they did with Mary. And there was Judas leading the pack. Very wicked, godless, idolatrous man. Go back with me to Mark chapter 14. So we see the devotion of Mary. She was always at the feet of Jesus. We saw that when she was showing her devotion, she was misunderstood, just like David was. Just like we will be. And then finally, praise the Lord, our Lord Jesus came to her defense. Not only that, but he shares with them, there is a priority here. And the priority is worship. You know, there are important things in our life, aren't there? Our children are important. Other people are important. But worship needs to be priority. Priority. Look at chapter, verse 6 through 9. Mark chapter 14. Jesus said to her, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done what? She's done a good work for me. Verse 7. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. In fact, they ought to. Deuteronomy chapter 15. But me, you do not always have. Jesus is soon going to be crucified and buried, ascended to heaven. Verse 8. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Some say, well, she probably wasn't aware of that. Others say she probably was. The disciples, it all went over their head. Let me tell you something. If she was aware of it, wow. That is amazing. When Jesus talked about his death, going to the cross, as he shared with his disciples over and over again, that he would be buried and on the third day resurrect from the dead. And she just simply took that by faith. And she thought, well, you know what? I'm going to make sure that I do my part. That's amazing. She loved the Lord. She did. And Jesus said that that's what she did for him. She anointed him beforehand. Look at verse 9. Not only does he defend her, but he says in verse 9, by what this woman has done, the way she has honored Christ, he says that she is going to be honored. Isn't that what Scripture teaches? Those that honor me, I will honor. You want God to bless you? You want God to pour out his blessings on you? Then honor God. Honor God with your life. Honor God with all that you are. And God will honor you. This woman, it says in verse 9, he says, surely, or verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached, even now as we're preaching, right? In the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Did God honor her? She better believe it. That's what I want. I want God to honor me, but we learn that we have to honor God. It just amazes me that when we don't live our lives to glorify God, we don't live our lives to honor God, and yet we want God to bless us. You're not living a life that's blessable. Isn't that true? That's not a life that's blessable. A life that's honoring God and living for God's glory, that life is going to be honored and blessed. Now, God loves us. We are His children. But my children, no, I don't treat them all the same. Those that are being obedient, they get daddy's smile. Those who are disobedient, they don't get a smile from me, right? They get the little rod, right? The magic wand. Got to deal with them. Do I love them the same? Absolutely. But obedience and attitude make a big difference. You might look at another Christian and say, why are they so blessed? Think about it. Are they walking in obedience? Is their life living for the glory of God? That is a life that is going to be blessed by the Lord. Does that mean we will have no trials at all? Not at all. We will have trials. But I want to be in the position where God will bless me. This woman loved the Lord. She was criticized for her devotion to Christ. Jesus defends her. By the way, the Lord will defend you. And He spoke up for her and He says, look, what she did for me was a good thing. In fact, not only was it a good thing, it is priority. You always have the poor. And that's a good thing to help the poor, but what's better is to honor God. That's priority. So as a result of her worship, Mary was honored. We have another picture of a woman in Luke 7. I'm not going to turn there because of time, but she was another woman that anointed Jesus' feet. Remember that in Luke 7? It wasn't Mary, by the way. And it was at a different place. It was another Simon in his home. He was a Pharisee. And Jesus went because they invited him to dinner. And once again, Jesus was there. And this woman stood behind Jesus, behind his feet, and the tears began to flow. Why? Because Jesus had forgiven her of all her sin. And we learn that the Bible says that this woman was a sinner, according to Simon the Pharisee. And he says, doesn't this guy know who is touching him? That this woman is a sinner? No, she's forgiven. And it says that her teardrops began to hit the feet of Jesus. And she also had a flask of perfume and began to pour on Jesus' feet. Not only that, she was kissing His feet. And she was wiping His feet with her hair. She didn't care what anybody else thought. She was worshiping Christ. Beloved, are you a worshiper of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you love Him? Is He your Savior? Is He your Lord? Oh, we need to love Him more, don't we? I know I do. I don't think we love God enough. I think we love ourselves too much. And let me tell you something. For Jesus, if He wasn't God to receive worship, that would be blasphemous. But Jesus is God. And He deserves all our adoration and our praise and our love. Let me ask you a personal question. Are you worshiping God? Is it a priority in your life? How is your time in the Word? Are you spending time with the Lord? Are you worshiping God every single day? Look at Mary. She probably gave her life savings away. We don't know. But I can tell you what she gave was sacrificial. Let me just close with this. Judas was the one who started this criticism, isn't it? It doesn't surprise us. He was pretending to be so concerned for the welfare of the poor. That's what a lot of people do. They always want to disguise their wickedness. And that was his cloak, you know. What about the poor? And Judas, being one of the 12, he fooled everybody with his piety. But, you know, his heart never truly repented of his greed, of his stealing, of his lies, of his hypocrisy. God can see right through that, man. Judas was never saved.
You know, he was like the Jesus being the vine. He was like the branch that was very close to the vine, but it never produced fruit. Why? It was never connected in the vine. John chapter 15. What about you and I? Are we truly saved? Have we truly repented? Can you remember in your life where you truly repented and surrendered your life to Christ? I can tell you this, we're all guilty. We've all lied, haven't we? And if you say no, you're lying right there, right? We've all lied. We've all done things. We've all broken God's commandments. And this is so vital that you and I need to understand. There are four things that people need to understand in order to be saved. Number one, we need to understand that the God that we serve is perfect and holy and just. And when God condemns people, it's His perfect righteousness. God has the authority to condemn sinners. Why? He made them. He's holy and He's just. And we learn that He's going to send people. Those that reject Jesus Christ, they're going to hell. There's no other way to say that, beloved. There's bad news. And we need to understand that every one of us has broken God's law. You know, I run into people, and Rosie and Rod, they go out all the time, and they run into people, they think they're a good person. You ask anybody on the street, are you a good person? What do you think they're going to say? Yeah, I think I'm a pretty good person. Really? Not in God's eyes. We're all sinners. We're condemned because we've broken God's laws. And that's what's so important about sharing the gospel, is that man needs to admit that he has sinned against a holy God. Have you done that? Have you admitted that you've broken God's laws? You need to do that before you're saved. The Word of God says that we've all fall short of the glory of God. Just a few of the Ten Commandments, right? Lying, stealing, dishonoring parents. Have you ever dishonored your parents? Oh, I think we all know that, the answer to that question, right? Have you ever blasphemed? Of course. We've all sinned against the Lord. The Word of God teaches us that we are all guilty. And because we're guilty, beloved, we deserve God's wrath. That's what we deserve. I don't want God's justice. I want God's mercy. That's why God sent His Son into this world to save sinners. That's God's mercy. That's God's grace. Praise God that He sent us a Savior. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to save us. What does God call us to do? You guys know. He calls us to repent. To turn away from our sin. Turn to God for salvation and forgiveness. Have you done that? I just want you guys to understand this. Because the worst thing that can ever happen, remember, is in Matthew 7 where the person says, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this? A religious person. And Jesus says, depart from me. I never knew you. Right? You who practice lawlessness. The man was living a double life. Beloved, God wants all of our heart. He wants us not to be double-minded, but sincere, surrendering our lives to Christ. God calls us to repentance and to trust in Jesus. Well, let's stand for prayer. Lord, I thank You so much for studying Mary and how she was so devoted to our Lord. I just pray, Father, You give us that type of love, that type of devotion. Lord, I just know that I don't love You enough, dear Father. I want to love You more. I want to love my Savior more. I want to be someday, and I know it won't be until I see Jesus, that I will never disappoint You again. But I know, Lord, as I struggle with this flesh, and we all struggle, Lord, we fall short of Your glory. We thank You that there is a Savior. We thank You there's forgiveness with You. Teach us, dear Father, to live in repentance. Draw us near to You, Lord, we pray. And all these things we beseech You, we thank You. We thank You for loving us first, dear God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.